Welcome to the Nieces Nugs Podcast. What's up, friends? Welcome back to the Nieces Nugs Podcast, Season 3, Episode 46, David Does Disney Part 1. Yes, you heard that correctly. I know, I'm shocked as well. I never thought that I would be recording a podcast on Disney, but yet here we are. It all started with a conversation and a free pass. The free pass not to go to Disney, but the pass to get out of going. My wife said I did not have to go. People heard about this and said, David, you absolutely should not go. Do not go to Disney. Someone else said to me, David, I can't think of anything worse for you than going to Disney. Somebody sent me videos of kids crying in line at Disney and said, it looks like you should be avoiding this. People were actively trying to talk me into not going on this Disney trip. I had plenty of time to think about it many months in advance, and I had to make a decision. But friends, how can I not go to Disney World with my girls the very first time that we're all going as a family? I am in. I told Amanda, I am in. But I can't give you the whole time. In fact, I needed to get back for some things back at school. But I can give you two great days. I can't give you the full time, but I can give you my best version for a couple days. And Amanda said, that's good enough. Let's do it. Now, friends, I hate lines. I really do. I don't understand how people can be inefficient on so many levels. And it frustrates me, which is one of the reasons why I want to be efficient in my life. I'm not always. I get it. I understand that I frustrate people. But if you want a lesson in efficiency, somehow get tickets to the Masters and go see how they move people around. Everything is done purposefully and efficiently, and you will have a great experience, even if you don't care about golf, because you'll be amazed at how quickly they move around masses of people. But if I'm going to Disney, I'm going to do Disney correct, and I'm going to do as much research as possible. I'm going to be as prepared as possible, and research I did. I read blogs. I watched videos on YouTube. I listened to podcasts. I did more research. I read more blogs. I watched more videos. I listened to more podcasts. I was learning and taking notes and trying to implement a plan and even discarding some things. And over the next several episodes, what I want to do is I want to talk about the things that I've learned about our trip and then some things that I would recommend for you or for those of you who might think about, can I do Disney? And if I do, what are the ways that I would most enjoy it? So for this first episode, what I want to talk about is some of the pre-trip helps and things that I did to get ready for actually going and landing in Orlando for this trip. Now, I like podcasts. I record one, but I didn't know where to start with this, so I Googled the top five Disney podcasts, and I want to be honest, it was really, really overwhelming. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know which episodes to jump into. Way too many episodes, and I did search for relevant topics on different podcasts, but to be honest, things changed so regularly. Some were outdated, and some were really not even that helpful. Most of the podcasts that were out there were hosted by travel agents, specifically Disney travel agents who sell Disney trips. And so you have to consider the filter when you're listening to these podcasts. Most of those hosts had been so many times that even though they're trying to help first timers, they really aren't thinking like first timers. And it's confusing and actually becomes not even that helpful when they start talking because they use lingo that's not helpful. They refer to things. They make inside jokes. And for this guy who's simple-minded, first-timer, I could not learn nor could I follow from these podcasts. So I had to move on to option two. That's where I read some old-school blogs and news articles about Disney and things to do. And this helped me grasp the enormous task ahead and what all needed to be accomplished. It was like building the foundation of the trip. Some of the blogs had maps and tips, and these were helpful at times to kind of put pieces together. Some of them had graphs of busy days and how to kind of avoid some of the crowds, plans for the park on certain days. Now, listen, I am not brilliant. I just Googled top Disney Tips 2024. Tips for a first-timer to Disney. How to do Disney with kids. What not to do on your Disney vacation. You get the point. I'm not that smart. I just Googled things that I felt like could help me put this trip together. Once I'd read some of the blogs and continued to look forward, I moved on to YouTube, and this is where most smart people would have started, but I ain't smart. And I like the blogs because they helped me get an idea of what I needed to get done. They helped lay that foundation. But once I got onto YouTube, I kind of zeroed in on a couple YouTube channels that were really helpful. And the two that I think that I went back consistently to that kind of helped me were one called Disney Ears and one called Molly. And these two, hosted by two specific people that basically go through every aspect of Disney World and places you can go and getting ready and things you should know and experiences and all these things. Both of them provided plenty of content to watch, to learn, and they were straightforward to follow. And that's what I did for really a couple months leading up to the trip. I would watch a couple videos a night, make notes, and then compare and go back and make a plan. This is where I learned the most. Disney Ears does a fantastic job of showing and explaining the park system and great tips, including how to lay out your day, how to use Genie Plus, how to get the most bang for the buck, wait times, and all these things. Now, as far as the pre-trip planning for staying and where you want to lay your head at night, this is kind of important too. Here's what you need to know. You can honestly stay anywhere. You can stay in a hotel. You can stay at a resort. You can stay at an Airbnb. You can stay in a tent. It doesn't matter. But the best way to experience Disney is to stay on Disney property, in my opinion, or a Disney-related family property. I know what you're thinking. This is crazy expensive. And, well, it can be, depending on where you choose to stay. Listen, friends, there are options, and then there are more options, and then there are even more options. And so if you want the plush experience and you want the fancy and you want the high dollar ticket price, that is there for you. But you also have the option to book several value resorts that are Disney resorts that are just a little bit more economical for you. And so those are there as well. And the park benefits and experiences for both of those are actually quite similar. So if you stay on park property too, you also get free parking into the parks each day, which means if you're going to drive to different parks and not rely on the bus shuttle system, you get free parking if you stay on Disney property. But you can also stay at an off-property Disney family hotel and still be considered on property, like, for example, the Holiday Inn at Disney Springs, which is where we stayed. It's a Holiday Inn hotel. We were able to use points to book it. It's right by Disney Springs. So we were able to get early access into the parks as if we were staying on Disney property. They had shuttles as well that would come and pick us up to take us different places, or you could drive. But it was kind of the perks of being on property, but without the cost of being on property. So let me give you some honest feedback about that. Number one, cons. Let's talk about some cons. Number one, if you stay off property, you have to drive or take the shuttle every day to the park, which takes some planning and takes some time. It makes it harder to go back and forth throughout the day if you need to go back and get something, or if you forgot something or just want to take a rest. The third part is if you stay off property, you do have to pay for parking at the hotel, most likely, and at the resort. We actually were able to get resort parking at all the parks for free because my brother-in-law and sister-in-law were staying at the Animal Kingdom, and they didn't have a vehicle, so we just hooked our vehicle up to their room, and we utilized their free parking everywhere we went. Some of the pros, we were able to book on points, which means we saved a lot of money. We actually did not pay out of pocket to stay at this hotel at all. We had a nice room. I actually got adjoining rooms with my in-laws, and we had everything we needed, including fridges, microwaves, everything to make it work. We were away from a lot of the crowds. We weren't super crowded ever because we were in our own little place. We were close to Disney Springs, so we could go get meals or do different things if we wanted to. The hotel had free coffee for me in the morning. It was hotel coffee, but it was free hotel coffee, which was nice. And we also got the early entry, which means at least 30 minutes before the park opens to normal guests, we were able to get in. And I was skeptical about this 30 minutes, what a big difference 30 minutes might make. But friends, it was awesome. So there's some ideas. I would recommend you staying at a Disney family property, either on one of the resorts or one of the hotels that's connected. Our plan each day, as we kind of thought through this and prepared for it, was this. Like, we are going to wake up early. We are going to heat up some breakfast sandwiches that we have in the fridge that we were able to get on the way down. We were either going to have that or a muffin. We were going to grab a cup of coffee. And then we were going to be outside at 6:50 because I needed great access to internet/cellular service without any hindrances. And I will tell you more about that in the next episode. But what you need to know is that 7 o'clock is a key time that I found out as I was preparing for this trip. And then we'd be on our way by 7:10. It didn't take long to get what I needed to get done around 7 o'clock. So we'd be on our way to our park of choice. You might think that is crazy to get up that early to do those things. But let me be honest. My girls were up. We were up. And some of you, it might be crazy, but for us, it's the rhythm of life. And here's what I want you to understand. We wanted to do Disney, and we wanted as much as possible to see if it was really that magical. And so we crammed as much as we could in just to kind of get the full experience. You have to decide, how do you want to do Disney? For us, it was not a guarantee that we would ever go back. So we were going to do it as if we were going to do it once and only once. So I would not recommend that kind of ideal schedule for everyone. But if you want to do all of Disney, that is the way to do it. And if your kids can stay and hang with it and get used to the grind like ours did, man, I'm telling you, you're in for a great day. So we'll talk more about the daily plan and schedule of the next couple episodes. But let me visit a couple more planning things. The next thing is this, is Magic Bands. Now, I've seen people post pictures on Facebook and social media channels about these Magic Bands, and honestly, I didn't really think much about them, and what I thought about them was just not very good. I judged people, but friends, if you're staying on property, these are a must. If you're staying off property but want to make the most of your Disney experience, including Genie Plus, you should get these. If you don't plan on using Genie Plus, well, don't go to Disney. I mean, I'm kidding, kind of. I'm not sure why you wouldn't use Disney Plus, but more on that on a later date. The Magic Bands, you can get these ahead of time. In fact, you should get them ahead of time. If you're staying on a resort property, you get them at a discount connected to your room, but you can also get them super cheap on the website. They're always kind of getting rid of some of them, and they go on clearance and sales, and we were able to grab ours, some Christmas ones out of season, and just make sure you're getting the right ones. There's some that are only for Disneyland, but some of them are shifting all to Magic Band Plus. There's a difference in the bands. Magic Band Plus is what everything is kind of moving to, which has light up and vibrating features, which the kids actually liked. I didn't think it would be a big deal, but as we were walking around the park, they would notice it. If you're staying on property, like I said, you can get these at a discount, but you can also pick them up at the Disney outlet sometimes in Orlando. But the best place is just to keep watching online. If you know you're going to go to Disney, you can get them cheap, and that's what we were able to do, and they came within a week to our house and able to get them linked up and set. And so let me just say this. Some people also mentioned that the bands had a tendency to fall off. That they would become loose and just kind of fall off. And so I did some research, and I figured out you could either use a rubber band, but why use a rubber band when we're going to Disney? So what I did was I went on Amazon, hopped on Amazon, and found these little fasteners that simply slide over the band, hold the band together, $6 for a pack of 9 of different colors. My girls absolutely loved them. It was a way for us to also to differentiate between who was which band, since we all had the same original band design. So a lot there pre-trip. Man, we're just getting started. I don't want to give you too much here, but let me just give you the top 3 recommendations from this planning up to this part. Number 1 is this. If you're going to Disney or you want to learn more about Disney, go watch YouTube videos. Go on Disney Ears. Go check out Molly for a little bit. Molly's more of like the experiential side of it. Disney Ears is more of like, hey, this is how you do it. And these are some clear recommendations. They will help you grasp the task that lies ahead of you. Number 2 is this. If you're going to Disney, try to stay at a Disney property if you're trying to fill your time. because there's options there. Not only that, like those properties are great from what I've seen. If you are taking a day off from one of the parks and just want to hang out, there's tons of opportunities. But the pros far outweigh the cons of staying at one of these properties. Just my personal recommendation. Number three is this. If you're going to Disney, get a Magic Band. Budget in a few extra dollars. Buy the Magic Band. It's so helpful. In fact, the people behind you in line will actually appreciate that you have a Magic Band because they work so much smoother than you trying to scan your phone to get into the park and causing backups and delays. Everything is connected to your Magic Band, and it's so much easier to operate and get around using the Magic Band. So get a Magic Band and get one at a discount. Do not pay full price. Friends, that's what I have for episode one of the Disney trip. Next episode, we'll pick up on travel planning. We'll pick up on airport tips and discounts and Genie Plus planning and kind of explore some more of what Disney has to offer. Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Nieces Nooks podcast. See you next time.